There's never a time that I approach up here that I don't feel a great solemnness come over me because we propose to stand at least as a mouthpiece that God can use. We certainly, Lord, as we approach the Word this morning, I don't do this very often, but I'm going to this morning. Don't have a word of prayer. Part of the reason why is some requests I forgot. And also we just need the Lord here this morning. Father in heaven, you know Sister Cheryl, and you know how that she is not feeling well and has a trip coming home tomorrow. Lord, have mercy on her. Touch her in her body. You know the cancer that is ravaging her body, and her eyes are on you, dear Lord, and we ask that you'll come near to her, bless her and Brother Dan, and encourage them. Help Brother Earl, Benson, you know, and Sister Marie, be with them today. Help Sister Brenda. Ask, Lord, that you'll be with us here today. Lord, we feel our need of you. You are our Father. And Lord, as I think about us as your people, this congregation, I ask, Lord, that you'll bless everyone in this congregation. You know how to feed us, Lord. You know the places in our hearts that need to be touched. You know the counsel that we need today. And I'm asking, dear Lord, that you'll come near to us. Help our young people, Lord, to find something in you. Help our children as they grow up to be tender-hearted. Help us, Lord, to receive a love for your truth. May it be rich to our soul. May we ponder on your ways, and may they be your ways be enacted in our lives. I ask, Lord, that you'll bless our time here today. As we approach your word, will you make it come alive to our very soul and feed our hearts? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look at Romans 12th chapter. Romans has a lot that's in it. It goes through, it seems like a lot of a theological journey Paul takes us through. This is down toward the end of the book. And 12th chapter, I've always liked this. There's something I believe for us today. Let's just start out here at the beginning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You ever been on a trip and went by a place, perhaps, and it said scenic pullout, or place you can park and stop and view the scenery? Let's put the car in park for a little bit, right here for a little bit. Think what we just read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And as we begin to look out over the scenery and what mercy, behold what love. As we begin to look at the mercy of God, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we might be called the children of God, that we might be called His sons. There is something that God has done that is a general grace, a general giving of Himself for humanity. He has provided His Son, and by those very mercies, and I think about I think these mercies can be viewed from different angles, and one of the mercies we've got to see is a general mercy that He has shed abroad throughout this world and made available His salvation for every soul where we are today. And I know I look back over my life and have to acknowledge there's places that when I was back there in that enemy's territory, the devil was trying to say that I was so captivated by it that I couldn't get free.
And if that's where you are today, I want to stop in this scenic overlook and recognize that the mercies of God is reaching back to you and wants to birth in your very soul the knowledge that Christ can set you free. What a wonderful mercy that we can purvey and behold today. And it's not just for you, it's not just for the world, but for me. All of us on an individual level, when I behold in my walk with the Lord throughout my life, and I recognize times when I may have grown a little bit cold in my walk and gotten too involved in the cares of this life, which I don't know about you, but it seems like most of us have a lot of things in this life that are easily, they seem to soak up our attention. And I've struggled with that through my life, asking, Lord, help me to balance this part of my life. And in those odysseys, I've recognized there's times the Lord has awakened me and said, son, you've not given me enough time. And again, as we look at, these are the mercies of God. And those mercies, every time the Lord has awakened me and drawn me back to Him, drawn me nearer to Him, the Lord establishes us in a closer place, in a place of blessing, a place of understanding. The Lord calls us all to this place in Him, that we can know Him in a greater, a deeper, more personal fashion. So I beseech you, Paul had some mercies that he experienced, did he not? You think about his life, I think on his personal experience, that maybe he was saying from his perspective, as he's at this scenic pullout now, he looks at his own self. And I believe there were times when Paul looked back at the past and he said, I've had to forget some of those things and press toward the mark. But I believe some of the things that he could have seen that said, oh, behold, how merciful God has been to me. He may have seen also the face of Stephen, others that he was willing to put to death for the cause. That was one time. The identity of Saul of Tarsus. He was the man who was putting people to death, Christians. And now he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I have experienced such a level of mercy that when I deserved something other than mercy, I look and see that God's hand has drawn me to Him and has made me, has bound me to his home, to the altar, has bound me to Himself. And now, with great joy, He looks at people and says, I want you to know the Lord has been so merciful to me, and calls them in these words, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Again, let's look over this a little bit more slowly again. Your bodies, I beseech you that you present your bodies. This is likely an allusion, especially to the Jewish nation at that time. They were accustomed to taking a lamb and taking it to the temple as sacrifice that they were going to give intentionally. For what purpose? For the sin of their soul. They had guilt they carried. And don't we as humans ever... I know there's a place where we're safe from our guilt when we get forgiven. But I have to admit that sometimes as I've walked, there's some things that I'm not saying sin, but it just, I feel badly that I did. Have you felt that? Maybe you haven't. But likely you have. What do you do with that? Sometimes it requires just saying, brother, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. Forgive me. And sometimes it's coming back also and saying, Lord, help me to learn how to do that differently. Change me, Lord. Lord, by the mercies, and I see how merciful you have been to me. Oh, bind me a little closer to you, Lord. I want to be more like you. I'm your child, and I'm glad, but I want to be more like you. Because you're perfect. You don't do this. So the mercies of God draws us in places like this. When that you present your sacrifice, your body, this living sacrifice. That we now offer myself, Lord, I relinquish control of this of myself. I know you're the God provided the lamb for our soul, but there's a place God wants us to come and relinquish. If any man would come after me, let him deny this old. Give it to the Lord. Take up the cross every day. So there's a denial of the old man. There's a place of dwelling and presenting our sacrifice, our bodies, a living sacrifice. See, the lamb that they used to bring was one that was slain. But now we live. Yet not I. It's Christ that liveth in me. The old man, the part that we bring to him is a living sacrifice, a new birth. But at the same time, there's a killing of the old man. There's an intentional denial of the old man. Oh, what wonder that we find as we yield ourselves to this great loving hand of God that draws us in more into His image daily as we walk with Him. Do you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy? One of the things that the sacrifices that God required when you brought the lamb as your sacrifice, the sin of your soul, it was not one that you haphazardly brought. It's not one that you just went any, meeny, miny, mo, but you went and you chose the best one because it was the sin of your soul you were dealing with. And you brought that to the Lord. As we come to the Lord, we don't come with a careless attitude. We come with intent. Lord, I mean to be your child today. Whether I do it well or not, I yield intentionally. This is mine to you every morning. And through the day, we come and say, Lord, I want you to be my leader, my guide, and I want to be yours. Married to you. And this is surely our reasonable sacrifice. When we look over the past and see how the Lord has been so merciful to us, surely it should remind us of how willing we should be to give of ourselves. He has bought us with a price. And you think about that for a while, it would surely cause us to think, Lord, surely you deserve my best. And be not conformed to this world. Paul is continuing on now, giving this counsel. Give of yourself, give of your all. Make it a holy sacrifice, unblemished sacrifice to the Lord. And be not conformed, because as we travel from this point forward, there's a conforming is going to happen. One way or the other, as we pass through life. There are things that you and I will face, that we will come up against, and it will leave its impression upon us. God is interested in being that part that impresses His image. God invites us to this place that we can mold into His image and be left with His impression on our life, that people might see Christ in us. A hope of glory. There is something there that goes beyond just philosophy or maybe sometimes a vain testimony, but that's really, it's a reality in our lives. And be not conformed into this world. I think we can look around and recognize today that there's a lot of forces that would like for us to conform. The prince of the power of this air, of this world, this element that controls society would love for us to be just like it. Would love for us to see things like it sees it. Now, there are things as we go through life that really have no moral implications. You eat your food. Thank the Lord for it. A lot of that has little or no moral implication. We're supposed to; those are natural things of life. But there are things that have moral value or immoral value, and that's the area that God is saying, don't let that rot. Don't let that spiritual decay become part of your identity. Don't be pushed into that mold. don't have the thinking of the world, those things that would lead us and put us in a place of vulnerability. Don't do that. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. This part of the mind that used to be so identified with the carnal things of life, the fleshly desires, that part is rejected and put to death. And in its place, there being a transformation comes, a new life that begins to come arise that looks like the Father.
Oh, I've seen children. I have one son recently that a man that I started interacting with and had some conversation. He said, "Are you Levi's dad?" And I said, "Yeah." Didn't know you knew him. He said, "He looks like you." There's some genetic traits, and that you've been around and you've seen children sometimes and. Maybe you hadn't seen family for a long time, but you see a child growing up and you look at, I think I know who your mom and daddy are. I see it. That's the way it's supposed to be spiritually. There's a confirmation. There's a conforming that God wants that His image might be part of us. That as we grow up in Him, that very image is the reflection of our Father. The DNA that starts being lived out in my life grows to look just like Him. And the first day you started walking for Him, you didn't know how to walk well. But as you grow and as you learn, as you progress, and you love Him with all your heart, someday you'll grow beyond a toddler. And you might even end up, your stride might look just like Daddy's. And that's okay. Because He is the ultimate of examples, and that's exactly who we want to be like, our Heavenly Father. That we be not conformed into this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, the corruptness that the devil would like to implant within our mind that sometimes can almost seem reasonable. The Lord wants to replace that with a soundness, with a settledness, with a foundation for life. The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. This will of God is a very reasonable, is a very good thing. It is, the more you ponder on it, the more you perceive it, the more you understand it and implement it into our lives, we begin to recognize the great wisdom that's there for life in general. What is it? Against such there is no law. You remember that? The fruit of the Spirit? All the characteristics that you find in that, when it says the fruit of the Spirit, there is none of that that's bad. There's no reason to make a law against any of that. Laws of gentleness and kindness and meekness and long-suffering. How do you make a law against that? You don't want to. That's just what God wants us to be conformed to. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How many ways can that be applied in our life? It seems to me, you know, there's part of the thinking of the world that seems to try to elevate us humans to the place that we almost think that we're the most important one around. Now, I admit that the Lord doesn't want us to feel crushed to earth. You know, the devil's the one that likes to crush us to the point we can't stand. But the Lord doesn't want us to get to the place that we feel like we can't walk or feel like that we can walk all on our own. You know, the Bible has those descriptions of, it's not in man that walks to direct his steps. This is an admission, a humble admission that, Lord, I need your guiding hand in life. And it's proper for us to do that. That doesn't mean I am just a limp rag that can't do anything. But, Lord, without you, I am nothing. But with you, there's much we can accomplish. But this area of me trying to do it all myself, we're going to find much failing, much regret when we try to take our own way. For I say to the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. When we see people, and it'll happen to me if I give myself into, when, if I or you or anyone else begins to elevate themselves in their mind of such great importance, it becomes a distasteful thing for us around us, for those around us. One time I met a man, I think it was an airport, I'm not sure exactly where it was, and he was decked out pretty sharp, and started talking, and he said, I'm a pastor. And he told me his resume, and it went on for a long time, and how great he was, and he's one of the best preachers in this region, and I didn't even feel like looking him in the eye after that. I thought, what? It didn't sound good. It's not, you know, there's something about an humble character, a man who leans on the Lord and stands boldly in the Lord while he's humble. There's something about that is so appealing. When you recognize Christ, he's standing there because Christ has made him stand. His head, he's honoring his head. In that, there is such an appeal that this world in large, in general, doesn't even see very often. But God's asking us to be conformed to an image that lets them see that more often. Lord, help us to be conformed to the image that they might see the actual lived out life of Christ in us. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, soundly, in reality, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, in this time when Paul was talking here, there were likely, there was a transitional time from the old law system to the day of grace that we find in Christ. And some of them were having a struggle. And I think if I would have lived in that time, I likely would have been one of those. If I was raised up under the old law system, it would have likely been a little difficult for me just to completely turn loose all the traditions of the old law and actually put my full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, I would be trying, but it's, and they were dealing with that. So here is Paul was saying, for I say to the grace given to me that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So what the Lord has revealed to you and you've gotten a hold of, stand on it and grow on it. Let that be your foundation. Don't try to build beyond what is what God has given us. You know, faith has foundation. It's not built on thin air. There's a reason why we believe what we believe. And it's found in Christ. And if we push ourselves beyond what we know, what the Bible even might clearly tell us, we can stand on the Word of God. That's faith. But if I try to build something that a bridge or something that goes out in thin air, you got to have something to rest on. It'll let you down. So build on what you know. Now the Lord may build something out there for you to step on later on, but right now, live where you are. Be strengthened in Christ and enjoy to build right on that rock that the God of heaven has already given you. Build on it. And as you ponder and learn and grow on that rock, you're going to find a greater basis of your faith. You know, Peter walked on water. None of the other disciples did. They didn't have that. That was Peter's that day. But the Lord, and when he stepped out on what Jesus told him he could do, the water was firm. It wasn't firm for anyone else. And when he began to, well, I don't want to go down that road too much. What I want us to know is that God has places for you and I to firmly stand, that we can
the Word of God, the things that He has revealed to us out of His Word, is a good place for us to build and stand and grow on. And the Lord will expand our place of dwelling. So, He hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, shifting focus a little bit here, but still following along in this vein of thought. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body, looking at ourselves now. As we fit together, you're going to have, and I certainly hope in every congregation, we have some maybe newfound babies growing up. I'm not talking about just little baby children. I'm talking about some baby saints, people who are newborn. Isn't it wonderful to see people come and find Christ as their Savior? That is always has always been thrilling to my soul. I love the maternity ward in the Church of God. I like to hear the newborns cry. I like to see them stand up and say, "The Lord save me." Even if they don't know how to say it well, just I love hearing them say, "That's me. Oh, I found peace in my soul." That is such a joy. But in that body, then, you're going to have people who have been well established by many years of walking with the Lord and have some wisdom they've collected along the way. Then you're going to have these little babies. And in between, there's all kinds of different callings that the Lord has. There might be some here today that your calling isn't very visible. And doesn't need to be, because that's your calling. That's where the Lord has you. And you're faithful in that calling. And is all integral, important to the body of Christ. Our places, as they're fit together, as we have faith, as we follow the Lord, as we yield our bodies as living sacrifice, the Lord fits us together. Whether you're a baby in Christ, whether you're old in Christ, or wherever you are, what your calling is, what the Lord has given you, the grace that He has given you, the callings that He has on your life. Yield to that calling, happily and joyfully. Oh, one time, heard a story, this was years ago, there was some printing work being done, and a young man had, he felt excited about the printing work. He said he wanted to go and be part of that. And so he traveled across the country, took a train back then when he traveled and got there. In his mind, he thought this, he's going to be reaching souls and he's going to be running the presses, going to do whatever. He thought he had big ideas. And it's good for him to have some of those desires. Want to throw himself into the work. That's great. But when he got there, you know what was given him? An axe. He said, "That pile of wood, there's you need to cut this down, you need to cut it up." And he went out there and he started swinging the axe, and pretty soon they watched him grow tired and he kind of laid the axe down. Man went out there and said, what's the matter? He said, "Well, I came here to help print, and I'm swinging this axe, it didn't feel quite right." And the man told him, he said, "There's a boiler in there that runs a printing press. And it needs wood. And without the wood you're chopping, nothing will get printed." He brightened his face, turned around and grabbed his axe and swung it with a lot more vigor. I don't care where you are or what place how the Lord is using you. Yield yourself into His service. Do that job with eager happiness as unto the Lord. And the Lord will make the whole body work well. Everyone has a place in this body. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We are connected. When one member suffers, so do the rest. We all feel that pain. If we don't, something's wrong. God wants us to be connected enough that it's important to us whether somebody is having struggles in their life. You know, there's things I'm not very good at all. And there's some things that you're a lot better at than I am. That's the reason why the Lord puts us together in a body, that what I lack, you can supply. And what you lack, other members of the body can supply. We are that. That's the way the Lord designed us. For importance. Everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Sometimes when we hear the term prophecy, our mind suddenly runs over into maybe some things of Daniel or Ezekiel or Revelation or some forward-thinking thoughts. There's maybe things that Isaiah used to preach that talked about things that we have experienced in our time. He was a gospel prophet. Well, that's part of prophecy. It's not always a foretelling. And likely in our day, prophecy has maybe almost nothing to do with foretelling. It can be. I'm not saying it doesn't. But the biggest part of prophecy as we know today is actually the communication or the preaching of God's Word. And that's done in different ways. It's not just behind the pulpit. You, as being part of the body, when you walk out here, you're representing Christ. And God wants you and I, when we go out, to be able to preach the Word, whether it be with words or not. God wants us to preach Him by the way we live, that others may see and be won and be attracted to what they're seeing in you and I. But here, Brother Paul is saying, having gifts differing, given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Again, what we share, let it be something we know. Let it be grounded in truth. Don't go beyond that. If we start foraying out into areas of mystical things we don't know about, we get in trouble in a hurry. Just stand on what you know. That rings true with people. I know we can maybe devise some exciting little stories about what we think maybe tomorrow is going to be, but be careful. There have been people who had some great foretellings, they felt like, a prediction of maybe when Jesus was coming back. I want to tell you, nobody knows that. I don't care what mathematics you come up with or what things we might line up and say, well, here, this scripture, then you better be careful, because when I hear Jesus talking about it, He said, no man knows but my Father. And He had never rescinded that. I think for some reason I have noticed when we start feeling like we can predict something, it gives a certain carnal importance that we feel that almost always doesn't look like Christ. There's something wrong begins to build. Be careful. Oh, but we can say all these scriptures. And, you know, when you get saved and you first learn to walk with the Lord, don't run to Revelations. I want to balance this. Revelation is a good book in the Scripture. And But when you're first learning to walk with the Lord, learn the Father. Find you some good counsel out of the Scripture that doesn't think about, well, I'm going to see some of these mystical. No, that's not where you are. Live in the grace and the faith you know now. Live there. Don't go out there. The day may come that your understanding will be more. There's things in these little children, toddlers, we don't expect them to understand. When you first learn to walk with the Lord, stay with what you know. Stay with what's clear. The feeding of your soul, that would draw you closer to the Lord and teach you of His ways. It seems like it's sometimes a little bit of a trip, a trap that the devil uses to get people all moved off into some mystical ideas
instead of the plain what we know to do and to do it right. Prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. Let us wait on a minute. Or he that teacheth on teaching, ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Well, I suppose that there's a place that we should, if we feel like the Lord has asked us to minister in some way, and I don't think ministry should be recognized, especially in this setting here, as being the one behind the pulpit. That's a very small part of the ministry. As members of the body of Christ, there are places God wants us to minister to one another in very practical ways. Sometimes it's just a loving telephone call. Sometimes it's a pat on the back. Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes it's a picking up some tools and going to work for somebody. There's all kinds of things, ways that we can minister, lighten each other's load, encourage one another. That's true ministry. It's a lot more than pulpit words. But then when he said wait on ministry, I think the Lord would have us to allow the Lord to really, truly inspire an understanding that we might, and there's a time that we can do that well. But when it says wait here, I think it's not only waiting till the Lord establishes, and be careful, I don't want you to wait too long. But I think this wait really is meant more in this vein. If you ever went out to eat, you ever had somebody come and wait on your table? And we call them waiters. Why do you call them waiters? Because they attend to. They're careful. They're watching for the need. As we learn to minister and represent Christ, the Lord wants us to attend to that very carefully. I don't think this is just meaning being patient and waiting. I think this is meaning actively caring. Wait, attend to, make it a thing that is of great importance to me. You know how we do this? And it's, again, I think it's a faith that worketh by love. You understand? That's a wonderful scripture. There is this impulse, this impetus of love that the Lord has given us. It should cause us to look at one another and recognize each other's needs. Maybe sometimes we can study each other and say, well, I recognize that if I said it this way to this person, that it would be difficult. You know, their personality is a little different. We're all different personalities. Aren't we? Brother Tommy, aren't we? Yes, we are. And the Lord takes us all where we are. He didn't change Paul's personality completely, or Peter's, did he not? Oh, he ripened them. He tempered them like he will you and I. But he takes our personalities and uses them effectively because they're sanctified and meet for the master. He's brought us to the place of usefulness in his hands. But he can't use that until we have yielded our bodies as living, sacrifice, whole, acceptable to God. It's a reasonable service. Oh, time's gotten us. And I won't press too much longer here. But as we minister, God wants us to attend to this interaction that Christ may be revealed in our life to the point that it might be portrayed or shine forth to others that they might see Christ in us. Attend to our ministry. Be faithful in it. Be careful. Be watchful. Understand each other. Let love bind us together and keep us properly the distance apart. You understand what I'm saying? Love gives space to each other. Love will make me not just step on your toes because I can. You understand? This is the very character of God that teaches us how to interact in a godly way. All right. There's a lot more in here that I would have liked to have gotten to, but I have went beyond what I should. But I want to encourage us today to take what we have. Oh, look at the mercies of God that has brought us to a place of salvation, a soul peace today. And it ought to cause us to
willingly yield what I have back to Him and say, Lord, use me and help me to portray Your Word uncolored by my carnal selfishness. I want it to go out in the purity that God Himself has created, that others may see a real picture of Christ. Isn't that what we want? Wait on your ministry. Attend to each other. Attend to the needs. We're a part of the body. We're connected. We're sewn together by the very blood of Jesus Christ. We're knit together. For good purpose, because we're a unit for the cause of Christ. Why? Because other people, God's got another place for somebody else to be sewed into. Don't we want to see people saved? We want to see our young people get a hold of this. We want them to say, me too. I'm right there. Sew me in. I'm part of this. We want to see our children to grow up and say, oh, this is precious. And when they go out and face the world, and we want them to be equipped with something that says, oh, this, I know I've got to live, I've got to function in this world, but I can't hardly wait to get back to Father's house and the security. Sunday morning, where you feel the security of everybody, we can relax here. Because sin's not here braiding our spirit. And we want our children to grow up to realize how valuable home is, the spiritual home. And be anchored. Well, Lord, help us all. I want to encourage each one today. Let's follow. Allow the Lord to use us. Happily yield. Give our bodies a living sacrifice.